So what was that again?
Zap, zip, and sock.
Okay,
well, I think I have that right.
I think that's pretty audible in the piece.
I like the idea of a composer coming up with a dictionary entry for a piece of music.
I like the idea that, and I don't know if she did this, but in the score that she could have put them in like quotation marks, like from an old comic book, you know, zip.
That's true. I think the piece itself has quite a lot of that.
Yeah, definitely.
As you can hear, there are these gestures that kind of jump out as if they were pow,
right.
Blam.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, like an old Batman episode. It's perfect.
There were long periods of time in altered states in which there was no dialogue. 9 and 10 minute sequences where Bill Hurt regresses into a tiny ape man and is running around, breaking out of a laboratory and running through the streets and finally ending up in the zoo, devouring a gazelle. And all of that has to be told in music.
Welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm Seth Bosted, and that was part of a conversation that I had with composer John Corigliano, in which he described a scene from the movie Altered States, for which he wrote the film score. If you've seen the movie, then you know that that's not even the weirdest scene. Welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm Seth Bosted, and we are live here at the City Winery for the second annual Thirsty Ear Festival. Listen to that crowd. It's wonderful to hear so much support for contemporary classical music. The mission of the Thirsty Ear Festival is to present new music, to update the popular image of what classical music is, because there are tens of thousands of composers working in all kinds of styles from countries all around the world. We're hearing music from men and women. Inconceivable amount of music that's being written, and it deserves to be heard. And so we're going to hear some of that today. We're going to hear Stephen Burns.
There almost wasn't a need to travel in a strange sense, mm-hmm. because we had such a rich background there, and I was exposed to Peruvian music in Berkeley. In the 70s and 80s, you had a lot of refugees coming up from Latin America during all of the political upheaval that was happening during this time. When the fallout happened between Allende and Pinochet in Chile, a lot of Chilenos came up, and they were bringing Andean music. And I would see these shows, and I would see how my mother looked happy. She just gave me more of a hint of where she was from, other than the exotic, wild stories that she was telling me about her chaotic upbringing and the culture that she witnessed. And I would come home trying to imitate this music at the piano with my South African teacher, who would encourage it, that I would try to make the piano sound like a charango guitar, which is our version of the ukulele, and with the way they do the strumming and the repeated notes and the inflections.
In his death, he has a fight with a character called Doomsday. So I wanted to make it sort of like a dance of death, so I decided to use a tango, which is, you know, the dance of death. And then also to depict death, to use the tune Dies Irae.
The Dies Irae melody sets the words Day of Wrath, Day of Judgment, and dates all the way back to the 13th century and became a regular part of the Requiem Mass around the 14th and 15th centuries. Hector Berlioz ignited the imaginations of Romantic composers when he used it in his Symphony Fantastique. And it showed up in the music of Rachmaninoff, Saint-Saëns, Liszt, and many more.
So we hear the Dies Irae tune, the bassoon starts out playing that, and then it moves to other instruments, and it's kind of a duel to the death, and the conductor is like a matador in a bullfight with the red cape, so to speak.
certainly the experience of working on a Fernie Ho piece when you first open the score is one of daunting and overwhelming difficulty. Even just the opening few bars, there's a bunch of incredibly difficult rhythms and sort of notes all over the range of all the instruments, and everyone's doing a lot of stuff all at the same time. And I think having that emotional experience, I think, is really key for the performers, and sort of learning how to be comfortable with that emotional experience, the emotional experience of there being too much information on this page for you to ever actually possibly execute. It was good for us, I think, as performers to sort of come to terms with that.
Right.
But also sort of stylistically speaking, learning how to execute that was artistically rewarding and really sort of helped us get to the next level, I suppose.
In performance, the idea is that you're going to attempt perfection, and in going all in and sacrificing yourself totally, mentally, physically for that perfection, imperfections arise. And I think in those imperfections, the music becomes personal because right. they're different for each person. Mm-hmm. Each person is going to sound different on Fernie Ho because every person is different in terms of their own limitations as a performer.
Absolutely. Great, let's have a listen then to Dal Niente, Strive for Perfection.